the idea that life is hard because my internet connection is poor, well, if that's your situation, you have a first world problem. Trying to decide between Netflix and Foxtel, well, that's a very first world problem. Is the air conditioning in the car playing up and it's just unbearable in summer? You have a first world problem. The third world man struggles to put enough food on the table for his family to survive. To find some clean water for his family. To keep his family safe from disease because there is no sanitation in his village or in his slum. He battles hopeless poverty, corrupt politicians. What a blessing it is when a third world person is transported somehow into the first world, to opportunity, to plenty, to health, and to hope. Well, today we're looking at two worlds. We're looking at Adam's world and Christ's world. One is the realm of sin and death and hopelessness for humanity. The other is the realm of grace and life and a rich future for those who turn to Christ. We're so used to living in and around the first of these worlds that we easily forget how much better things are in Christ's world. Yet God in his grace has lifted us, if this is true for you, has lifted us out of Adam's realm and transported us into the wonder of Christ's realm. Now, today is Palm Sunday. We remember on this day, as we've already been reminded, of the triumphal entry of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. He came with humility on the donkey, and the crowds laid their cloaks down before him and shouted shouts of joy to welcome him. But a few days later, of course, they were shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." And they did just that. But little did they know that the rich blessings that would flow from his blood shed when they did crucify him. So I want us to consider the surpassing greatness that there is in Christ today. And that's where the passage is taking us. The surpassing greatness that there is in Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the precious gift of your word. And we do pray and ask that you would help us, that you would help us to understand the scriptures and help us to know Christ deeply and to embrace and know the rich blessings, the surpassing greatness that we have in Christ. Please help me to speak what is true and right. And please help us to hear and to listen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder if you've ever become aware that one decision can open up a whole Pandora's box of unimagined results. I wonder what your story is. Maybe that one decision somewhere in your life that changed everything. The one decision of many a young man to join a gang to take up a gun in some of the ghettos in New York or elsewhere has changed the destiny of each of those young men over the years, hasn't it? Often in terrible, terrible ways. The one decision of a young woman to try ice at a party might well dramatically change her future and the future of her whole family and her life. Adam and Eve's one in the moment decision to disobey the command of God in that garden in Genesis chapter 3, as we read today, to follow their own heart's desire rather than to follow the will and the word of God, that one sin changed the course of human history and the destiny of every one of us. That one decision brought death to himself and death to us all as they disobeyed that one command. Now, why is it death to us all? Well, because as his family, and we are all his family, we share responsibility for what our forefather did that day. But also because each of us do the very same thing ourselves each day. We choose sin, and we do sin, and we're responsible for our sin. Even before the law of Moses came with all its clear commands, we disobeyed conscience. The law written on our hearts, as it were, we disobeyed willfully. And through sin, death rules our world, and it has since Adam. All of us die. Not merely because of biology, but the word of God says death is in the world because of sin. Adam's world is a world of devastation. Death and hopelessness. And friends, as people who know Christ, we must not forget that this was our world. Now Adam, as he is the one who shaped all who have come after him, he is a type of the one to come, a second man who has now appeared. Adam brought sin and death to all of us, but by this second man, each of us can have a very different destiny. Over these last few weeks, we've looked at Jesus Christ and his cross, and the gift that's offered to us all by him. What wonderful news. The choice of the second Adam, Jesus, in the desert of temptation to go the way of the cross rather than the easy way of honouring the evil one. That decision alone answers the profound impact of Adam's choice way back in the Garden of Eden. And what comes by Christ to many is surpassingly excellent by comparison. Now, how is that so? How is it surpassingly excellent? Well, it's surpassingly excellent in its abundance, in its surpassing outcome, and its surpassing reign. And I want us to look at each of these. So let's look at the surpassing excellence of Christ. Firstly, his surpassing abundance in verse 15. Let me read that verse for you. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? The word, as you just heard, the verse uses the word overflow. And the idea of the word in the original is that it means rich abundance, overflowing abundance, more than we can imagine. If Adam's sin brought death to many, to all humanity, Jesus Christ has now brought an abundance, an overflowing fountain of rich grace to the many, that is, to everyone who comes to him. Christ brought a precious gift, the free gift of his own righteousness imputed, accounted, if you like, to each believer. And by his death, he has taken away their sin, paying the price. This is indeed overflowing grace in reply to sin, forgiveness, mercy, a new standing. It is the rich fountain of life. And if you are a believer, this abundance has been and is being poured out upon you each day. Secondly, a surpassing outcome. Look at verse 16. He says, again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. The focus on this in this verse is on the result, the product of Adam's work and Christ's work. The one sin of Adam brought immediate judgment. The outcome was the declaration of guilty, and he and us were condemned, expelled from the garden and from the tree of life, and consigned to death. And this was just after one sin. But see Christ, who is the second and the better Adam. After many sins, again and again on our part, Christ brings by his life and his death his gift, free imputed righteousness, so that everyone who turns to him and relies on him is justified. That is, they are declared right. They are declared not guilty in the court of God. There is no condemnation for them. Christ is to them the new tree of life. Christ is that tree of life, one on whom they can feed in their hearts by faith in him every day, with a new and a very different outcome. The outcome, of course, that you now enjoy in Christ, if you are one of his. And thirdly, the surpassing reign of Christ. In verse 17, he says, "For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigns through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" If it can be said that death reigns in our world, and it's very hard to deny it, this week we witnessed the funeral of Malcolm Fraser. By many measures, a towering figure in Australian life and our modern history. But dead. Life got like Gough Whitlam last year. Dead. Like countless others. Like us. For we will be dead. Adam brought us death, and death reigns in the world. All of us are caught in death. As much as we wish it were different, as much as we each in our own ways work to leave some kind of legacy, death takes away our lives, our talents, our hearts, our personalities, ourselves, and brings them all to an irrevocable end. We're gone. we will in time be forgotten. Hopelessness, isn't it? Isn't it horrible? Emptiness. Is it any wonder that the writer of Ecclesiastes said that everything was meaningless for this very reason? Thanks very much, Adam. That was kind. But Jesus Christ walked from his grave, never to return. Now here is profound proof that his work of defeating sin and defeating death, which rules everything, is complete. If that is so, then how much more do those who drink from the overflowing fountain of God's grace in Christ by trusting him and enjoy his free gift as they look to him, how much more will they share in his victory and reign over death in life? How much better is Christ and those who reign gloriously through him in life? And you who were once only caught in helplessness and hopelessness, you who knew only a terrible thirst and hunger, but have now turned to Christ, do you see that death no longer reigns over you? Yes, indeed, your body may die, but it and you will be raised, all of you, in fullness and richness of life, all that you are in all your personality and gifts, everything that you have, much greater. You will reign in life through Christ over death. You, friends, have a joyful hope that the world sadly does not yet have. You have life. So here are the two, Adam and Christ. Adam, by one act of disobedience, brought death to us all. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, by his one act of obedience, that righteous act, brings to us who have turned to him, once caught in the world of death, now into the world, transported into the world of righteousness, justification, and eternal life. He includes a note about law and grace in verses 20 and 21. The purpose and effect of God's law was not to reduce sin, but to increase it. Did you realise that? Often we think that because of God's law, if we really try and keep God's law, the world will be a better place. It's not so. But Paul's point in these verses 20 and 21 is that where sin increased, God's grace increased even more through Jesus Christ. Death reigns through sin, but grace reigns in life through Jesus Christ to all who trust in him. Well, friends, here is the gospel. We've come now to the end of this episode of Romans. Maybe in the future we'll go forward in Romans. Next term we're going to jump into the book of Acts. But we're going to go forward in Romans in some future date. But as we come to the end of this important section, it's time for us to ask ourselves whether this is our Christ, whether we will own him. Will Adam be our man or Christ? Do we agree with the declaration of God's word that that by ourselves we are under the rule of sin? Do we believe that under sin we are headed for death and the wrath of God? Do we agree that we fall short of the glory of God? Do we agree that our works and our lives are of no value to us before the throne of God? And more, do we believe that there is but one Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we believe that this one death, once made, and a sufficient payment of sin, fully satisfied the wrath of God on our account? Do we believe that in Him we are justified? We are not guilty because of His death for us. And therefore we are at peace with God, embraced by His eternal love, facing no condemnation, but instead forgiven and set free from what we should deserve. Do we agree with that? Do you agree with that? Do I? Will we stand for this Jesus? Will we align ourselves with Him ahead and before our family and our friends? Will we boast of Christ? Will we glory in Him before those around us? Or will we glory in Adam and the way and the life of ignoring God, the way and the life of sin and death? If we say, yes, we want to align ourselves with the Lord Jesus, see that it is like being transported from the third world into the first world. The third world looks very attractive on the outside, a great lifestyle, so many nice things to enjoy, great technology, all the beautiful things that money can buy. It looks great. But that world is a world of utter poverty. Utter, utter poverty. For everything will be swept away, and we will be swept away in death. If your answer is yes, it's being like transported from that world into the world of the rich and abundant blessings of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. Whatever your struggles may be, and each of us have our own struggles, don't we? Give thanks to God for His inexpressible gifts. Aligning yourself with Christ will bring suffering to your life. If you truly align with Him, it will. The Bible says that all who live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's what will happen if you align yourself with Jesus Christ. Will you do that? The payment is eternal life. These are days when we actually need to decide if we're going to stand with Him and for Him. The time is coming upon us when we will need to say, we are Christ's. That is, in fact, if that is what you want to say. The debate over sexuality in other Western countries has led to lawsuits, severe financial loss, and in some places the loss of churches, houses, bank accounts, and every asset for many congregations. It's coming to Australia. We've had the first taste of it, but it's coming to Australia. Things are going to change in our country incredibly soon, and they'll change profoundly. And in that moment, we will each be asked in a one way or another whether we will stand with Christ or whether we'll stand with Adam. What will be our decision? Will we stand on the side of the enemies of Christ and perish? Or will we stand with Christ and suffer but live? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your precious gift of grace, of imputed righteousness and eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Help us not to be ashamed of him and these wonderful gifts, but in these days where our society is changing dramatically, to stand steadfast and to wait upon you. We thank you for the abundant blessings of the gospel. Help us to be proud of Christ. Amen. Well, an opportunity for questions.